Hey girl, may I ask you a question? Would you say that one of the most influential guiding factors behind how you spend your time each day is the people you love? Your kids, your spouse, your friends? They're all probably near the top of the list. Not to mention your parents, in-laws, small group members, ministry teammates, neighbors, clients, peers, mentors, and that is just the beginning. Girl, you've got a lot of people in your life. No wonder if you're like most busy Christian women juggling both midlife and business, it always feels like someone needs your attention. And it's hard to get to your quiet time or get to your work block or get to the gym or, let's be honest, get to bed at a decent hour or stay there if you do happen to duck around the corner unspotted because someone always seems to suddenly distract, delay, or demand your plans and your time. And I don't know about you, but just because they're no longer tugging at your pant leg doesn't mean they need you any less. Don't you agree? God created us as women with a desire to nurture and care for those he's put in our care, no matter how young or old, near or far. But for far too many of us, we've got way too tight a grip and place unrealistic expectations on those relationships, even to the point of putting them on the throne of our hearts, which means God gets pushed out. That's what we call relational idolatry. I mean, it's not been easy, but at least the topics we've covered so far in this Lesser Things series have not taken too much work to uncover how they turn our hearts away from the Lord. Busyness, comfort and control, self-sufficiency, people-pleasing, work and success, financial treasure, dwelling and possession, body images and appearances, but when we start talking about those closest to us, our friends, our spouse, our kids, watch out because that mama bear persona comes out to defend ourselves. So before you tune me out, because you think you don't worship your relationships, may I invite you to stick around? Because it's not just about what you do. It's also about what you don't do. And most importantly, where you're looking for validation that you are loved. Girl, I promise, when you get these relationships in the right place in your heart, they will be even better for you and for them. So, are you ready to do some heart work and look at how the way we're trying to give or receive love from others could become a lesser thing that gets our time, attention, and affection? Good. Let's dive in, and I trust that you and I will be better friends afterwards. Did you know busy is not just a disordered calendar or to-do list? It's a disordered heart. And a well-ordered life flows from a well-ordered heart that's focused on Him. Welcome to the Redeem Her Time podcast, the go-to place for busy Christian women juggling all the things in midlife and business, from launching kids to aging parents, caring for your needs to serving your clients, investing in relationships to serving in your community. Oh, and keeping up with the laundry, the dishes, and the dirty floors. Honestly, it's a lot to balance. No wonder you feel like you never have enough time. All the time management gurus out there will tell you you just need to get more organized. And chances are you've tried all the things, the planners, the programs, the All Start Monday plans, but they never worked, at least not for very long. That's because those don't get to the heart of your busyness. Here, you'll learn how to build a with God life and business and go from busyness to fruitfulness in this season. And it starts in your heart, not in your calendar. Hey, I'm Lissa, Christian time management expert, priorities protector, and recovering should-do list girl. I've been leading, teaching, and coaching Christian women for over 25 years, and I've been right where you are, controlled by all the shuns, expectations, obligations, and distractions. But then, God showed me how to redeem my time with faith at the center to let who I am and whose I am guide how I use my time. I'm here to share with you how to use His truth along with time management tools to discover you really do have all the time you need for what you're called to. You just need someone to show you the way. Open up your heart and calendar because I'm going to show you how to redeem your time and stop believing there's never enough. Are you ready? Hey friend, we are still friends, right? Maybe I'll have to ask that again after this episode, since I'm going to poke your heart a bit. But have you ever wondered what it would be like if you grew up in a different home? There was always something that intrigued me about that classic movie, The Parent Trap, where those twin sisters who reunited at camp traded homes to try to bring their divorced parents back together. Now, I wouldn't go as far as the reality show from a few years back, Wife Swap, but there's something intriguing about getting to experience firsthand how the way others live and relate is similar or different from yours. I mean, who didn't back in the day have a kid who said they wish they lived in so-and-so's family because at least they don't make their kids blah, 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 or they let their kids blah, 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 or maybe that was you saying those things. Have you ever thought about how different your life would be if you grew up in a different neighborhood or a different city or different country? That's one of my favorite things about traveling to new places, getting to experience some of someone else's world. And in literally less than 48 hours, I will board a plane for over 16 hours of flight time and land in the middle of the night in a city that speaks a different language, eats different food, celebrates different holidays, but despite all the differences, I still see so many things we have in common, especially when it comes to the priority of relationships. Now, as I've described over the past few episodes, in Central Asia, they don't have a lot of money or possessions or clothes or big homes to fit it all in, but they do have a lot of family and friends, and they are very close. Family and friend relationships are deeply valued and play a significant role in the lives of women in Central Asia. Women often share strong bonds with their families, and these relationships are built on respect, loyalty, and mutual support. Sounds pretty similar, doesn't it? Except, to a different degree, in many Central Asian cultures, women are expected to prioritize their families and play a central role in maintaining familial harmony. Now, this might involve taking care of elderly parents, supporting siblings, and ensuring the well-being of extended family, many of whom live in the same compound-like home or even the same one-bedroom apartment. I've talked with women whose husbands are away working out of the country, and they are back home literally doing everything for their families, for their in-laws, on top of taking care of their own. Serving family, especially because they don't have a lot of the same amenities that we do outside the city, consumes a lot of their time and energy, like it or not. Friendships, well, those are also important, both inside the villages and in the tight-knit urban communities, because women are prioritizing companionship, emotional support, and opportunities for socializing. Again, since we all have a God-given desire to connect, that's not surprising, right? However, their friendships may be more limited than in some Western cultures, especially due to such factors as physical distance, time constraints, or a lack of shared values. And women often choose friends within their own social circles, like their neighbors, their coworkers, or members of their religious community. But even though their friends may not be across town, these relationships are characterized by a sense of trust and closeness, and women often rely on their friends for advice and assistance in time of need. Living in a rural community without direct neighbors, sometimes I miss having in-real-life friends like that, ones that I run into at the bazaar, or in the corner market, or at the front gate. Do you remember me telling you about the army of older women who get up at O Dark Hundred to go literally sweep the streets with stick brooms? One of the reasons my friend told me they do that is because it's a way that they can connect with their friends, because that's the only time of day they're not focused on all the tasks they have to do in their homes all day long to care for their families. I mean, I love me some good redeem her time girls, but I think I'll pass on the 3 a.m. wake-up call and opt for more sleep over a sleepy swapping conversation while sweeping, pun intended. It seems that although things may look different on the surface, maybe deep down we're all the same. Family and friend relationships are central to the lives of women in Central Asia, as well as here in America, or wherever you're listening. And they provide us with a strong support network and a sense of belonging. I hope you've enjoyed hearing these little bits over the past month about the women that I will be serving halfway around the world, because it's good to get out of our comfort zone and realize not everyone lives like we do. And while I'm happy to spend a week or so with them, I'm always ready to get back to my comfy bed, my comfy couch, and my comfy shoes. I don't know what it is, but they do not wear shoes that look comfortable. In fact, most of the time their heels hang off the backs because that's the style. And in true Central Asian form, they don't have as many to choose from, so they certainly wear out quickly. If you ever do travel to Central Asia with me one day, be sure to pack slip-ons, because shoes are not allowed in any home or even the schools or many offices. So you don't want to be left behind because you were the girl having to balance on one foot trying to tie them. I do pray that one day some of you will join me to visit and serve these women. But for now, I will go as a representative of the Redeem Her Time community, but you can still help me help them. Yep, this is officially the last time I'm going to ask for you to take a minute to care not only about other too busy Christian women solopreneurs trying to juggle all the things between midlife and business, including family and friends, so they can go from random busyness to faithful fruitfulness. That way, she can read your words and know that this is what she needs to fix her time issue at a heart level. But it's also a way that you can tangibly care for women you may never meet, never have a conversation with, never kiss on the cheek, but who need to know that they are loved and valued and supported. So, how does leaving a review do all that? Well, in case you haven't heard, for every review that comes in, up until I leave the Figgy Farm to get on that plane, I'm donating on your behalf up to $500, which can go a long way in a country like that. So I'm asking one more time, if you will help me help them and leave a review before I say farewell to life here as I know it. I promise to come back with stories to tell and pictures to share and bags to sell, so stay tuned. But first, you need to go to Apple Podcasts on your device or on someone near you's device, find the show, scroll down to click the 5 stars, and then click the pencil to write a few words so that way others know that this is where they will find the support they need to change everything about their time and allow them to focus on who and what matters most. Thank you for helping me help them. It means the world, literally, to me and to them. Speaking of focusing time on who matters, if you have a business, whether it's one you do from home or one you do from a brick and mortar location, may I ask you an honest question? Is your family part of your why? For so many women I talk to, entrepreneurship is the ticket to no longer having to punch a clock day in and day out, to no longer having to waste time in commuter traffic, to no longer having to ask a boss for time off in the middle of the day or the week. It sure was what kept me from going back into another classroom and gave me way more freedom and flexibility with my time to decide who and when I spend it with. But how often do we let our biggest why be our biggest excuse? We don't have that quiet time because our hubby needs something before work, or we don't get to our work block because our kids need to drop something off or pick something up, or we don't get to that networking event because we're needed to watch the grandkids. Not that I will have that request often because none of my kids live in the same time zone, but I know that many of you do. And not that any of these requests in your time are a bad thing, if they're happening once in a while and you choose to say yes, but when they're happening daily, hourly, or even more often, it's really hard for a girl to get her God-given work done, especially as a CEO. Don't you agree? And then when you're a solopreneur who has all the things in this stage of business on your plate, I get it. It's that tug of war guilt trip that many of us wrestle with day after day. We feel guilty when we're working because we're not with our family, and we feel guilty when we're with our family because we're not serving our clients or working on that project. But what if there was a way to ditch the guilt trip drama and not make it an or, either family or business, but make it an and, family and business? Chances are, when you went to an office or a classroom or a store, you didn't get quite so many requests or demands on your time as you do now because they think you've, quote, got time because you don't have a real job with a boss to answer to, right? Except I'm here to tell you, you do. You do real work. That's important. You do have a chairman of the board to answer to. And you are a CEO, a Christ-empowered operator. So I'm here to tell you in love that you can juggle both life and business and do it well without looking like a three-ring circus or like Elastigirl. You just need the right system and support to help you shift your beliefs around the value of what you're called to be intentional with the time you're working and the time you're not, and to be focused when you sit down to work so that way you get more done in less time and see more fruit. That's what I wish I had first had when I started in business over 12 years ago. But that's okay, because this journey that God has brought me on, one where I vacillated from working too much to the neglect of my family, to the other extreme of not working at all for the sake of my relationships, well, all of that is what has helped me build the redeemed midlife CEO, so that you don't have to make the same mistakes, waste the same amount of time, see the same lack of results year after year after year after year, and wonder if you should just throw in the towel because maybe it's not worth it all. If you can relate, because that's ever been you in the past, it is you in the present, or it's what you don't want in the future, then I want to invite you to apply to a busyness breakthrough call. Now, it's only for committed Christian women, solopreneurs, or entrepreneurs who are tired of the randomness and busyness and done with listening to all the gurus out there telling you to do more or show up more or ask more. And you would rather trust your business and time into God's hands by slowing down to listen to what He has to say and then not doing any more than He has called you to. This has the potential to be a life, business, and heart-shaping conversation, one where you finally are able to look below the surface of all the distractions, including your well-meaning friends and family, who you think are causing your busyness and lack of result issues, and actually uncover where the heart of the problem lies. I won't spoil the surprise, but if you've listened carefully to this podcast for any length of time, you probably know what it's related to. And unlike what the experts say, it's not your calendar, your to-do list, or your technology that needs organizing. It's something else that most of the world is missing. But when you discover it, watch out, because this girl, the floodgates start opening and your time starts multiplying and the fruit starts accumulating. All because you've got the right combination of biblical truth and time management tools and business growth strategy. So that way you can build your business and have plenty of time to love on your family. So if you're tired of the tug of war guilt trip between your business and your relationships, let's chat and change all of that from the inside out. That way, when you're with your family, you're fully with your family. And when you're working your business, you're getting a good ROI on that investment of time. All you need to do is apply for a call, and you can do it at redeemhertime.com/coaching. I promise, your family will thank you for it. Just ask some of my current CEOs whose families are already seeing and feeling the ripple effect. Speaking of relationships being in the right place, how did you answer the question I asked in the intro? On a scale of 1 to 10, how much do people or your relationships with people impact how, where, and when you spend your time, whether that's in life or business? I'm going to assume since most of us don't live on a deserted island, you're closer to a 10. Am I right? And even if you are single with no kids, or you've lost loved ones, or you mostly work from home and don't get out much, God has put people in your life, and for good reason. Because we were not created to be alone. We were created to be in fellowship, inside community, first with Him and then with others. But that's where things get backwards and it turns idolatrous. We put the human connection above the divine connection. And that is what we're going to dive into today. But first, let me make a few disclaimers. No, I am not a therapist or a counselor. So if you are in an unhealthy relationship on any of these levels, please seek out a Christian professional who can help you walk through it. Second, no, I do not have perfectly built and maintained relationships with friends, my spouse, and my children. I have not figured this all out, and my flesh will probably continue to get in the way this side of heaven, but I seek to continue growing in this with Him. And third, no, I'm not going to give you 3 steps to turn your relationships with your friends, your spouse, or your children around. Although I believe when we do this one thing, it will change everything. But before we get into this, you may be wondering, why are we talking about this on a business time management podcast? Because the reality is, our relationships require our time. And in many cases, by putting unrealistic expectations on them, we are giving more time to something or someone other than God, even our relationships. Yikes! But there is a way to love God and love others the right way, the way that puts Him on the throne and not our wrong expectations in those human relationships. And for any woman in business, especially of those of you launching, building, or scaling on your own, you know that it's easy to say that those you love are the reason you're building your business. But they're also likely the very reason you're not many days. Am I right? So setting the right expectations on these relationships allows us to focus in the right direction in 4 of the 8 areas of attention. In our faith walk, our service, and our family and friendships. Girl, that's like hitting 50% of our life in one place. So there might be something to this. So you may have heard me use the word relational idolatry earlier. What is it? And when does loving others turn into wrong worship? Well, I'm so glad you asked. Here is what God's been teaching me, and I trust that He has some truth in it for you too. You see, relationships are a gift from Him. We are reminded through relationships, whether it's friendships, our marriage, in raising our kids, that we are created to share our lives with others. And when it's done in a healthy way, we experience joy and companionship. I mean, some days you may wish for that deserted island, but chances are you'd get pretty lonely before you know it. You'd miss the conversations, the laughter, the tears, the adventures, the feeling of being known and understood by someone else. Even in our business, we can't do it alone. In fact, just yesterday, I got an email from a business coach addressed to, get this, lonelypreneurs. For solopreneurs for sure, and even entrepreneurs with a team or a few employees, it's easy to feel like you're all alone, isn't it? Shameless plug for the Redeemed Midlife CEO 12-month group coaching experience, where you not only find the framework you need to build a with God life and business, but also the support and community in which to learn, grow, and apply. So if you are a lonelypreneur, or know you'd be better off not trying to do it all on your own, be sure to apply for a business breakthrough call, and we'll talk more. The point is, we all need others, both in the triumphs and also in the trials, especially in the trials. But that's where we often get into trouble. When we look to our friends, spouse, and kids too much, or even before we look to the Lord. Be honest. Who do you tend to go to first when a crisis comes or you've got something to celebrate? Now, it's not that we shouldn't share that with our loved ones, but often we can expect them to be there for us in a way that only our Heavenly Father can. So let's dive into a quick look at each of these three main categories of relationships. That way, we're not going to give time away to, but more often they're not put on a pedestal over the Lord. You may find that one category is healthier than the others, or unhealthier for that matter. I challenge you to take the time to reflect on each and whether those relationships in your life have been given idol status, whether intentionally or unintentionally. And for each, I'll also remind you of the place that God says they should be. Are you ready? Okay, let's start with friends. How are you doing in the friend category? Some days it feels like it was easier to connect with other women when you had littles, because then you'd meet up at the park or the mom's group or the pickup line or the sideline. Sure, it may be distracting when you're half keeping an eye on Johnny and half listening to a new friend share her struggles, but it was better than being at home alone. But midlife is different. In some ways, it's harder because you don't have all those kids' events to get you out and about, so it's easier to stick to yourself. But in other ways, well, you don't have the constant interruptions, so when you do make time to meet up for lunch or coffee or to get on the phone, the kids don't suddenly need you. Now, your dogs, on the other hand, well, that's another story, isn't it? Either way, you have to be intentional about your friendships because they don't just happen on their own, and once they do happen, they don't grow without intention either. Ecclesiastes 4 verses 9 through 10 gives a great picture of the value of friends. Two are better than one because they have a good reward for their toil. For if they fall, one will lift up his fellow, but woe to him who is alone when he falls and has not another to lift him up. I have to admit, some days it feels lonely living in a rural community where there aren't a lot of people to see and things to do, and it's easy to feel sorry for myself because I just want to go shopping like the way I used to when I lived up in the burbs. But then I remember there are probably plenty of women at church, at the store, and around the community who are feeling the same way too. So, as they say, if you want to be a friend, you need to be a friend. In this season of life and business, it feels like most of the women I'm closest to or connect with are virtual, but that's okay. They are the people that I can send a message or a voice text with a praise report or a prayer request, and who are willing to speak into any area of my life day or night. And then I have my college girls group, where we just get together one weekend a year and pack in a lot of sharing, caring, praying, crying, laughing, and dreaming into a few short days, and don't much leave the Airbnb. Just curious, do you mostly connect with women in virtual places over technology, or in real life over coffee? Either way, have you considered what expectations you put on them? Do you expect them to respond within a few minutes of your message? Do you expect them to invite you to anything they're hosting? Do you expect them to comment or like on all your posts? Do you expect them to give more than you give to them? Do you expect that that relationship will never change or fade? Do you expect them to tell you what you want to hear? This list of unrealistic expectations is not exhaustive, but it is telling if you said yes or kind of to any or all of the above. Have you subtly or blatantly allowed your friendships to become all-consuming, misplacing your worship of the Lord and redirecting it to friends? In more than anything, it points out, if so, we have placed too much weight on a human being, a weight that only Jesus Christ can fully bear. When we place our friendships on a pedestal, believing that one person can hold the weight of our misplaced demands, we set up good and godly friends to disappoint us constantly. Because friend, they are broken, sinful people, just like you and I are. And putting unrealistic expectations on them only crushes them. Instead, we are to look to Christ as the friendship that ultimately makes us feel secure, valued, worthy, valuable, and accepted. He is the friend that sticks closer than a brother or sister, no matter what. He is the one we could always call on, who will always have the right words, who will always have compassion and care for our hurts and our hoorays. Living in light of this truth opens the door for true, grace-filled, gospel-saturated friendship with imperfect people. And Jesus reminds us in John 15, 12-17, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask in the Father in my name, he may give it to you. These things I command you, so that you will love one another." You see, we are to first treasure our friendship with him, and then let that overflow into our friendships with others. Is that the order that you have things in? Or do you have it friends first and then Jesus when they let you down? That, my friend, is a lot of wasted time looking in the wrong direction, because they will never be the perfect friend. So, while it's fresh, here are a few friendship reflection questions. In what ways are you tempted to idolize friendships? How have you unrealistically expected a friend to meet all of your needs? How can you serve God and also serve others in your friendships? Would you like a trusted Christian resource to grow in this area? I recommend Friendish, Reclaiming Real Friendship in a Culture of Confusion by Kelly Needham. Okay, now let's look at our relationship with our spouse. If you're single or single again in this stage of life, that doesn't mean that the Lord doesn't have something for you to address in your heart around this area. So I invite you to listen in. And to those of you who are in difficult marriages, who've been hurt over and over, whether physically, emotionally, mentally, or spiritually, I want you to know that I am with you and that you are not alone. If you're not safe, please reach out for help. And if you need a safe place to talk, be sure to connect with a trusted friend or professional. And in either case, do not think that your problem with your spouse is necessarily what we're talking about here. Although there may be some elements of truth. Because whether we're single or married, happy or hurting, it's still easy to put that relationship in a place it doesn't belong and make it an idol. I recently was listening to John Mark Comer's podcast, and he asked all the single people in the room to raise one hand, and then to raise the other hand if they wanted to be married. After affirming their bravery in public, publicly marketing themselves as available, he challenged them to not romanticize, pun intended, marriage, and that one day spouse that God would bring. We've all been there, right? Whether it was dreaming in your journal, or walking the long way across campus to see him, or even spending every waking minute with that one guy, we often make marriage or that someone something it's not in our heads, and then expect it to all play out like the movie we've created in our mind. Then, what John Mark Comer did next was well played. He read 1 Corinthians 7 that says, "It is good for a person to remain unmarried, for those who marry will have worldly troubles, and I would like to spare you that." To which everyone then laughed, at least the singles did. But the married people couldn't for fear of a jab in the side from their spouse, right? The point is, marriage is beautiful, and it's a gift. But it too is not a perfect relationship, because it's the union of two imperfect people. So, for those who are currently single, the caution is not to idolize a would-be spouse that you think will bring happiness and security and companionship and satisfy the longings of your heart to be loved. Our desires for a marriage relationship can become an idol when we cannot feel whole or complete without someone else. That's not to say don't pray for God's leading in that direction. Just don't look to them to be the answer to your singleness. Perhaps you are in this season so that you will look to God to complete you instead. And for those who are currently married, remember, marriage is also a gift from God and intended to be an even more intimate relationship than our friendships. In our spouse, we have someone to walk through the highs and lows of life, someone to make decisions and share experiences with, someone to regularly work and worship with, someone to laugh and cry and be quiet with. Marriage goes beyond the friendship that is bound with commitment and rooted in covenant. Marriage is saying I do to that with partner for life. Ecclesiastes 4 was read at our wedding over 28 years ago, and what I shared at our son's wedding just a few months ago. So here is the next part of Ecclesiastes 4 in verses 11 through 12. Again, if two lie together, they keep warm. But how can one keep warm alone? And though a man might prevail against one who is alone, two will withstand him. A cord of three strands is not quickly broken. In my Mother of the Groom speech, I talked about the strength of a rope made from two strands and how it multiplies the amount of weight that it can withstand when those strands were on their own. That is withness, weaving two lives into one. But then, when you intricately weave a third strand, it exponentially increases the amount of tension the rope can withstand, making it virtually unbreakable. When two become one, and God is the third strand that holds them together, that is true withness that will never break. After being married for this long, I don't know how people navigate an imperfect relationship made up of two imperfect people making imperfect choices, only by the grace of God. And yet, I often wonder if 50% of people on their wedding day realize their marriage may not last for many reasons, perhaps one of them being unrealistic expectations. Just as with friendship, no spouse is perfect in how he responds when he sees you upset, how he helps when he sees you overwhelmed, how he cheers you on in the business you're building. And if we as wives look to them as our knight in shining armor who can do no wrong and will save us, we can be quickly disappointed. Our spouse is placed on the throne of our hearts when we expect them to display the attributes that only God perfectly possesses. Unconditional love, knowing us perfectly, listening and understanding completely, caring for our every need, never sinning against us, carrying our every burden, placing these expectations on them only sets them up to fail and our hopes of happiness to be dashed. You see, marriage is a temporary union meant to point us toward our eternal union forever with Christ. When two become one, they will undoubtedly experience shortcomings, failures, sins, and unforgiveness. But with Christ as the third strand, he allows us to walk in humility and grace and repentance, as described by Paul in Ephesians 5, 28 through 32. In the same way, husbands should love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as Christ does the church, because we are members of his body. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This mystery is profound, and I'm saying that it refers to Christ in the church. Sometimes it's still a mystery to me too, but when he is the third strand and the one we look to meet our deepest needs and carry our every burden, it frees up our spouse and ourselves to enjoy and celebrate marriage in the way it was intended, and it keeps us looking to Christ together. That, my friend, is time well spent in marriage. So, here are a few marriage reflection questions. In what ways are you tempted to idolize marriage or a spouse? How have you unrealistically expected your spouse or marriage to meet all your needs? And how can you serve God and also serve your spouse or future spouse in your marriage? Would you like a trusted Christian resource in this to grow in this area? I recommend Marriage in the Middle, Embracing Midlife Surprise, Challenges, and Joys by Dorothy Little Greco. And for many of us who are married, we also have children whom are the recipients of a lot of our time. But I want to ask you, is it focused in the right place? Perhaps the most sanctifying relationships, or the ones that show us how far we have to go in our faith walk, are with those closest to us, namely our spouse and our children. I often joke that I'm sure before kids, you were not sitting around twiddling your thumbs, thinking I should bring something completely dependent into my life that will consume my time, money, energy, sleep for the next 18 plus years, 24 hours a day, right? But you were probably already busy with whatever you were doing in that season of life. But what happens when that gurgling or screaming bundle gets put in your arms? You make time. And you have no idea how much time it will demand over the years, but you willingly commit. Why? Because that bundle has great value. Psalm 127, 3 through 5 says, "Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord, the fruit of the womb a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior are the children of one's youth. Blessed is the man who fills his quiver with them." Children are certainly a gift from the Lord and add much joy, curiosity, and a reminder to play in our lives. But they can also lead to a lot of stress and pain and worry we didn't expect when things don't go quite as we'd envisioned or they don't quite look like the kids next door. For those of you without children, just like in our conversation around a spouse, do you feel less than, left out, or lower than those around you do? Perhaps your hope wrongly lies in the desire you have to be a parent. But that is not to diminish any pain that you feel in that space. And for those who do have children, Where is your joy when, like we said, things don't go as planned? When they receive a diagnosis, when they get in an accident, or they get into trouble by choices they make to walk away from the Lord? When the hope for children or our hope in them to turn out like we expected is unmet, we need to do a heart check. Sure, we love them deeply, no matter what, but do we use them and their accomplishments to fill a void in our own hearts? And what happens when they grow up, move out, and leave and cleave to start their own family and no longer need us in the same way? Are we left without purpose and meaning? If so, they may have held too high a place in our heart. I don't know about you, but I'm finding I have a lot to learn as I navigate midlife with 3 kids out of the house most of the time. One newly married, so now I'm a mother-in-law. One who deploys for long periods of time, and one in college. Some days I miss them so much, and I long for the days when they asked, "Mom, what's for dinner?" Or, "Mom, can I have $20? Or, "Mom, can we go for a walk?" And although all 3 of my kids are passionately pursuing the Lord, His call in their life, and the partners He has for them, some days I think I know best and I want to make decisions for them or make them see something I think they're missing. But how is my heart when they don't seek my advice? Or when they don't ask, but I give it anyway and there's resistance? I've learned some hard but good lessons lately about letting go and letting them spread their wings and just being present and perhaps pleasantly persistent in connecting. So that way they are more apt to share both the little everyday things as well as the big life-shaping things. And I pray every day, and I let them know I'm praying for them. And when I think back on all the time I spent over the years trying to be the Pinterest perfect mom and recreate every idea in that Family Fun magazine that arrived once a month so they would turn out just right, I have to ask, was I consumed by caring for them perfectly to look good to them or even to others? What do you see as you look at those still under your roof or those who have already left? Caring for their needs is always time well spent, but overly mothering turns not only our time, but also our attention and affection away from the Lord. Now, Jesus says some shocking words in Matthew 10, 37 through 39, that at first glance feel really unloving, but actually they're not. Whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever does not take his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. You see, if you look at these verses in context, you may even be more taken aback because of the sword of division that he mentions. But this is not referring to violence, only to the separation the gospel will and can have between those who believe and those who don't, even those in the same family. This difference can force many believers to make difficult choices to keep the peace with their parents and children by denying faith in Jesus or be willing to lose connection with family in order to continue to follow him. An article I read in BibleRef.com points out, Jesus is demanding his rightful place in the hearts of his people. They must love him more than all others and demonstrate that is true if forced to make a choice. This has not changed Scripture's demand that children honor their parents and that parents provide for their children. Jesus does not say, do not love those people. What he says is that we ought to love God more. You see, loving others is the second greatest commandment, but it is behind the first. To love God with everything we have. So in making this statement, Jesus continues to make the claim that he is God. Love and obedience to him must come before any obedience to any other person or group. Wow. So, what place do your children or lack of children have in your heart compared to him? Here are a few reflection questions on children. In what ways are you tempted to idolize your children or having children? How have you unrealistically expected your children to meet all your needs? How can you serve God and love your children with an ultimate dependence on him? Would you like a trusted Christian resource to grow in this area? I recommend Fledge, Launching Your Kids Without Losing Your Mind by Brenda L. Yoder. Well, friend, I trust this conversation around unrealistic expectations we place on those relationships in our friendships, our marriage, and with children has been a good opportunity to do a heart check of who is truly on the throne of your heart. This entire episode and this entire series boils down to this one question. Are you obeying the first and second greatest commandments in the right order? Loving God with all of you and then loving others with all of you? That, my friend, is time well spent. But often, our loving of others gets put above loving God, causing us to give time, attention, and affection to someone that matters greatly, but should not be in the place of God. I encourage you to come join the conversation over inside the Redeemer Time community around which of these relationships or all the above need to have right expectations to be in the right place in your heart. So here is today's community question. Which is one of the areas of relationships that you want to focus on turning to loving the Lord first, so that way you can love them rightly? If you're a regular, you know where to find us. And if you're a newbie, you can go to redeemhertime.com/community or click the link in the show notes and come not only cast your vote, but find the encouragement to start putting Him above all else. And after this, I'll be doing a last bag check. I'm packing light because most of my suitcase is taken up with items for those we are serving. And I'm checking the fewer podcasts one more time. So please take a minute to leave a review and help me help them. I can't wait to show you their smiles. And if you're that girl who says she's doing her business for those she loves, but falls into either letting them regularly distract, delay, and demand the time you planned away from building it, or you're ignoring time with them in an effort to hit that next level of success, or you find yourself somewhere in between and you want to keep things in check, aka create work-life balance that works for you and still allows you to be successful in both life and business, then I invite you to apply to a busyness breakthrough call. And let's look at where your time is going and how to redeem it to see the fruit in who and what matters most. I can't wait to help you discover you really do have all the time you need to do both well. You just need someone to show you the way. Speaking of someone to show us the way, ultimately, we need Him. So let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you that you are a perfect Father, the perfect bridegroom, and the perfect friend, and that you call us your daughter, beloved, and friend. Thank you for creating us for relationship and for the family and friends that you have put in our lives in this season. We confess that we often fall into idolizing our relationships, whether it's in desiring what we don't have or being overly consumed with what we do have, and for looking to find our acceptance, worth, success, and happiness in people rather than in you. You are the only one who perfectly loves us, knows us, and carries our burdens. Cause our eyes to turn to you first for our every need and to receive your love, and from that place to go and pour out your love into the family, the spouse, and the children and friends you've given us. And even in the midst of broken relationships in this broken world, I pray that you would give us a longing for those perfect relationships that we will see one day when we are with you for all of eternity. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Okay, friend, it's been a long one, but I'm glad you're still here. I will see you over inside the Redeem Her Time community, where we'll talk more about this. Thanks for joining me for this episode, and until next time, remember, instead of chasing time on a clock, trying to control it, receive the gift of time from the one who truly holds it. Because as his daughter, you have time. Hey, before you go, I pray this episode blessed you, challenged you, and moved you to take action. So, what was the one thing God showed you today? I'd love to hear. So would you take a minute to leave a review on Apple Podcasts? It makes my heart smile, and that way I know you're liking the show. And it helps other busy Christian women, just like you, find real life answers too. Speaking of which, grab the link and share this with someone you know that's been praying for a breakthrough. And don't forget to come join the after party inside the Redeem Her Time community. We're not just about knowing, we're about doing together. Head on over to redeemhertime.com to join the community, leave a question to be featured on the podcast, schedule a free 15-minute strategy session, or all the above. Of course, I'll drop the link in the show notes because I know you're a busy girl. Look carefully then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Ephesians 5:15-16. I'll see you in a few days, friend. God bless.